It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with you live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. I'm Josh Vernier, your 610 Sports Radio's Royals Insider, 1 week away from opening day. Royals and Twins, Pablo Lopez, after carving up the boys last year on opening day, he's got a very different foe as a opponent. Not just the lineup. I'm talking about the opposing starting pitcher. With all due respect to the greats, the Hall of Fame right-hander Zach Greinke, Cole Reagans is a horse of a different color compared to the 40-year-old right-hander. Before I get to Cole Reagans, had a chance to talk with him. You'll hear that coming up in a moment. To carry on the conversation from James McArthur, which I don't know if you picked up on how similar the way he's talking about this team and the way that he's talking about what he learned about himself, being comfortable in your own skin, how much that ran parallel to what we heard from Kyle Isbell. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show, you can always download the show in its entirety. Just go and search All Things Vern on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. But as far as that bullpen is concerned, there's no doubt James McArthur, Will Smith, those are my top two choices to finish a game off in the ninth inning. But John Schreiber, you knew Chris Stratton's going to make the team. Nick Anderson, you knew he was going to be on the squad. Angel Zerpa is going to be coming out of the bullpen. Matt Quatrero made that official after the game last night. Jordan Lyles will be coming out of the bullpen. Matt Quatrero made that official earlier today, which leaves one spot open in that Royals pen. And to me, with Will Smith already being, or Will Klein already being demoted or optioned, I should say, to AAA Omaha, and now with the hamstring injury to Jake Brents, I don't really see a power option to grab that final open bullpen spot right now. Josh Taylor is dealing with some biceps soreness. I don't see how the Rule 5 guy, Matt Sauer, doesn't make the opening day roster. When you're already down Brents and Taylor, we know Anthony Veneziano and Daniel Lynch have been optioned to AAA Omaha as well. When you're already seeing a few arms that you were hoping would serve as reinforcements down in Omaha, when you're already seeing those guys put on the shelf, I think you really start to prioritize inventory. You prioritize keeping as many arms that you like. I'm not even going to call them all quality arms, but arms that someone in that front office likes, you keep as many as you possibly can. Look, you asked me this a few weeks ago. I don't think Matt Sauer makes the team because of what I talked about to open up the show, talking about the aggressiveness, bending over backwards to keep a Rule 5 guy on your team, to keep him on that 26-man roster is reflective at times, reflective of a rebuilding team. But the aggressiveness that this organization had shown throughout the offseason, throughout spring training, led me to believe that Matt Sauer may indeed be on his way back to the New York Yankees. But once those two lefties went down with injury, I don't see the benefit. I don't see anyone banging down the door. With all due respect to Sam Long and Dan Altavilla, whoever else you want to throw out there, I'm keeping the inventory. Sauer's in this bullpen. And as far as the bench is concerned, I, again, It seems very clear to me. You know Freddie Freeman and Salvi are your catchers. You got Vinny at first, Bobby at short, Michael Garcia at third, Adam Frazier second, left field. Garrett Hampson's a do-everything bench player. MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe, that's going to be your opening day outfield. Nelson Velasquez, more than likely your opening day designated hitter. Now, so that leaves two spots, right? Two spots open. Michael Massey certainly going to grab one of those spots unless this lower back injury sidelines him at the beginning of the season. No baseball activities again today for Michael Massey. We are, as you know, a week away from opening day. If you ask me, if he's not in the lineup Sunday in that inter-squad game that they're going to play here in Arizona, if he's not taking swings and fielding his position by Sunday, I don't think you can put a young player like Michael Massey, who still has that quiet doubt in his mind, like so many of those hitters that are being thrown into the deep end right out of the gate this season. I don't think you can do that to him. I think you got to let him hit the IL, have a rehab assignment, get that timing back, and hit the big leagues with confidence in 2024. If that does happen, Nick Lofton, in my opinion, will grab that spot, and Dairon Blanco will grab the 13th spot because of that speed threat off the bench. And as I've incessantly bludgeoned you over the head with, those first 6 weeks of this Royal season, you're either going to drown or you're going to persevere and make this a very entertaining summer. That's why we're calling it the deep end, because that's what you're doing with these guys. So if you're in the deep end, you pull out all the stops to win. I want a 13-man... I want 13 hitters that can all play a role right out of the gate for those first 6 weeks. And Dairon Blanco's speed off the bench to me is an absolute no-brainer. Cole Reagans on how he was told that he is indeed the opening day starter.
I got Sweeney called me in the office. We went in, and JJ and Q were in there, and they kind of just—they asked me what I was doing on the 28th, and you know, we asked me if I wanted to pitch, and obviously, heck yeah, I do. You know, that's pretty much how it went. I was pretty nervous when I walked in there. I mean, but yeah, that's how they told me.
Walking in there with those three guys.
Yeah, it's pretty. I was like just standing there, and she was like, "Sit down, you're making me nervous." And in my head, I'm like, I'm pretty nervous. Like, but yeah, it was. You know, it's an honor.
Cole Reagans laughing there with Annie Rogers of MLB.com. So that came after a spring start for Cole Reagans, and I asked him if the news of being named the opening day starter gave him any added juice when he took the bump in that Cactus League action.
I try to keep it even keel. I mean, I've been working on some breathing stuff to just help me. I get super nervous before start days. It doesn't matter what day it is, where it is. I get super nervous. So I've been working on some breathing stuff just to try to calm myself down and just go out there and, you know, fill it up. And like I said, give us a chance to win.
You'll hear my entire conversation with Cole Reagans coming up in a moment, but much like what we heard from James MacArthur talking about the power of his partner, how much his wife picked him up when he was down, Cole Reagans has been through just as much, if not more, than James MacArthur. Back-to-back Tommy John surgeries, and his wife was there throughout. So I was interested in how he told her the great news that after all those trials and tribulations, baby, we made it. We are opening day starters in Major League Baseball. Here's Cole.
I actually texted her, and then I made up something because I'd rather tell her in person. So I got home, and, you know, I was like, told her I made the team, and then I was like, yeah, I made the team, and then it's like starting opening day, you know. Kind of brought both of us to tears a little bit. But it's special. It's going to be an exciting day.
Yeah, and like MacArthur, again, I know some of you are diehard baseball fans, diehard Royals fans, and maybe you already know the background of James MacArthur. It's all a rerun to you. I wanted to get to know these guys a little bit better. I know Bobby. I know Salvi. I've gotten to know Kyle Isbell over the years and Michael Massey and whatnot, but These new guys that have been here for less than a year, we got to know James MacArthur, and you and I will get to know Cole Reagans a little bit better right after this.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Vern's Hot Stove, the final edition of the year. I mean, you got to think the Chiefs are going to be great again, so they're going to carry you into February, and then I'll take over. So, yeah, the final Vern's Hot Stove of the year. Next week, don't forget, Cody and Gold live from Kauffman Stadium before Royals-Twins Game 1 of 162. And on the hill for that game next Thursday will be a young man that was drafted out of high school 8 years ago, back in 2016, a first-round pick of the Texas Rangers. It was, do I sign with Texas or do I go to Tallahassee and play with my buddies at Florida State? Had a chance to sit down with the Royals ace, Cole Reagans, and I wanted to start there, talking a little Florida State athletics. I grew up rooting for the Seminoles. I was a fan of Charlie Ward. Now, I didn't bring that name up because, of course, Cole Reagans doesn't remember him, but I wanted to know, who are your top three Florida State athletes?
If you're going just big names out of FSU, you got to go Jameis, Buster Posey. Dalvin Cook was incredible there.
Are you a fan on your own, or was it someone else laying the ground?
I mean, I grew up an FSU fan. Like, I'm not a diehard college sports fan by any means, but, like, if I'm going to pick somebody to pull for, like, I watch FSU football every offseason, you know, stuff like that. But, no, just kind of, like, family. Most of my family is FSU fans. The people, the ones that aren't are Florida fans, so it's a little, it's, you know, we mess with each other, but...
They give you a hard time when you were set on going there?
No, not really.
You're happy for
you. Yeah. Grew up, I mean, 15, 20 minutes from the stadium. Went to baseball games, went to football games. So just kind of had a bunch of friends like I played with throughout high school and travel ball and stuff that went to FSU or were committed to FSU. So
was that the first dream? To play a sport at Florida State?
Yeah.
When did the big leagues become the dream?
So I committed to FSU my sophomore year of high school. Like, into my sophomore year, kind of spring break here. Probably somewhere around this time, my sophomore year of high school. But we already had, like, three kids on my high school team going to FSU for baseball. So it was, like, I'd watch them, stuff like that. And then I'd say, like, so my sophomore year that year, we had two guys that were going to FSU that ended up getting drafted. And then it started, you know, you see what happens, what their life's going about and stuff like that. So then, you know, you get a little older, senior year comes around, and it was like, you know, if it's right, it'll be right. You know, if I get drafted in a good spot, and that's what we'll do. And we'll just kind of take it day by day and see what happens.
What kind of, not encouragement, but any sort of push from your parents at a young age?
Not necessarily, just like as long as I was having fun. Like, my parents were never the ones that are like getting mad because I didn't do well or something like that. It was just kind of, you'll get them next time. My dad would be, you know, won't be the last time you probably get hit around. Like, the best of the best get hit around. So it was always never a, like, forcing me to go anywhere as long as I was having fun. But I love baseball. Like, this is what I've dreamed of my whole life, you know, is play baseball. It's just enjoying it every single day.
Your exterior is always so even keel. Who do you get that from?
Probably my dad. My dad's pretty laid back. He doesn't show much emotion.
What does your family mean to you? How much has their support meant?
Yeah, it means the world. I mean, my wife, my siblings, my parents, you know, everybody in my family that pulls for me. It's, you know, they've never given up. They've always, even when I was hurt for the 3 years, it was always pushing me, knowing that I'm going to come out the other side and be better for it. And, you know, it means the world. I wouldn't be here without any of them.
We talked about it before we went on the air. A little brother, cerebral palsy, is that correct?
Yeah, it's like super minor form. As he's gotten older, it's gotten a lot better. So, like, He played baseball in high school. Now he still lives back home. He just got married this offseason, does electrical work. He does all kinds of stuff. I call him all the time when I have questions about things around the house. Like, hey, what do you think about this? How much do you think this will cost? Like, is this hard to do? Like, how do I do this?
And am I going to hurt myself?
I rebuilt my deck a couple years ago, and I called him. I was like, hey, how should I do this? Like, how am I going to cover this up, and how do I do this? And he explained it to a T. And
that's like having a good mechanic. It's like someone that helped me make sure I'm not getting ripped
literally,
off.
Literally.
I got a father-in-law like that, and man, I don't know what I'd do without him. What kind of perspective does that bring you when you see a little brother, even though you're saying it's a very mild
form? It doesn't affect his day-to-day life.
Right.
He's always, you know, watch my baseball. We text each other all the time. Just talk about, you know, we'll call each other sometimes just see what each other's doing. We have a good relationship.
Sports always been a bonding thing in your house.
When we all get together, you know, the kids will play with ball, and you know, we have a family gathering. We'll be playing wiffle ball, you know, stuff like that, tossing the football. I feel like it's just an easy thing to, you know, the kids enjoy
for
it.
Sure.
I enjoy it.
Well, just being around this for me makes me cool to my nephews. I can't imagine how they look at you.
Yeah, no, they, you know, all of them play baseball. They enjoy it. Actually, all of them play multiple sports. I mean, they play MLB The Show, and they love it.
When do you first remember enjoying competition?
Probably sometime in middle school, honestly. I'm a super competitive person. Doesn't matter who I'm facing. I could be trying to race my little nephew or something. I'm going to try to beat him. I don't care. I could be playing my wife in cards. I'm going to try to beat her. Doesn't matter. I'm a super competitive person. And heck, even now in the locker room, there's trash talking involved. But it's all for the better. Like, we're all having a good time. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to kill somebody or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cole Reagan's joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go back to 2016. You're 18 years old. What do you remember about draft night?
It took a while. First day of the draft's always super long because there's so much time. Played wiffle ball with my brothers in the front yard for like the first half of the first round. Kind of didn't really know what was going to happen. You know, it was just kind of a wait and see. And then I think it was like pick 27. I got a call from my agent. And he told me Texas wanted to take me, and it was a good deal. Sat there and watched it.
Was there any nervousness in the house?
I don't feel like it was too nerve-wracking. If it's a good opportunity and a good spot in the draft, by all means, I'm going. If it's not, I'll go to FSU with all my friends for a few years, come out, see where it takes us then.
Did you end up visiting those guys while they were playing there? Did you
get to enjoy any of that? I still hang out with quite a few of them in the off season. Right. One of them lives in my neighborhood, and we hang out pretty much every single day. Like, we throw together in the off seasons, work out at the same time, you know, go over to each other's houses and have dinner or watch football games or, you know, whatever.
Do they know your stuff well enough to where, because I'm talking with Stratton, and he's saying, you know, man, I always want Will Smith watching my bullpens, watching my appearances, because he knows when I'm good, he knows when I'm bad. Are those buddies similar to that?
Yeah, or? So the one of them is still playing. He's with the Minnesota Twins. We're honest with each other because we want both of us to be, you know, the best we can. So it's like we give each other good insight, I feel like. Like, we watch each other every bullpen of the offseason. We're watching each other, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Are you sensing that in this clubhouse as far as accountability, and we can be honest with one another?
100%. 100%. I mean, these guys are incredible. Like, they're great people, great baseball players. Like, it's going to be a really fun, exciting year.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've been in that clubhouse or watching bullpens. And I mean, you're always around Waka, Singer, always in conversation.
Yeah, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's about baseball. Sometimes we're just hanging out. We're just having a good time, you know. We're enjoying each other. All of us play these games every morning on our phone. There's like Immaculate Grid, MLB Pickle, and then there's one called Batter Up. And it's like
these. So you guys are doing those too, huh?
Yeah, okay. We play them every day.
To go back to draft night, and I guess this will kind of be an insight of what kind of an 18-year-old you were, but like, what were you envisioning that night of what your career would look like? You're 18. I can't imagine you were already a day-at-a-time guy at that age, were you?
No. I mean, definitely not two TJs and missing 3 years. I can promise you that. And I don't think anybody envisions that. Get to the big leagues as quick as I can. Work hard. get there as quick as I can. That's what you dream of as a kid, is playing in the stadiums, playing in the, and that, you know, I had the injuries and stuff like that, and it's like, it put it in a bigger picture of, you know, the game can be taken away immediately, so I'm going to enjoy every single day I get to, and, you know, when they're ready for me to be in the big leagues, that's when I'll be in the big leagues, and, you know, I just go from there. It's like, I got over here, and I'm just trying to enjoy every day. The guys here, the coaching staff, everyone, front office has been, I mean, it's, I'm loving it. It's been awesome.
I mentioned before we sat down that I was checking out your old Twitter account. You haven't tweeted in like 17 years or something.
I don't even have Twitter anymore.
But you tweeted in January of 2017, "To my future self, never forget how hard you work to get where you are and push yourself to be better than the day before." What do you think when you hear that?
Same thing. I mean, I think every day, try to be better than the day before. Learn from past outings, throwing programs, you know, meetings. You know, you can take little by little and take big, like, yeah, take the good, learn from the bad, flush the bad, run with the good is essentially like how I've tried to like think about it. Like, you're going to have bad days. There's nobody out there that doesn't have a bad day. Like, I mean, you look at like the best hitters in the world, they're going 3 for 10, a Hall of Famer.
Right.
3 for 10. It's like the best pitchers in the world. I mean, you can just sit back and watch. Like, yeah, they have bad days, but it's, they limit the bad days. It's like they learn from them, and then they move on and stuff like that.
So you already mentioned it, the, you know, 2018 Tommy John, 2019, they need to go in there again. Did that make you better in any way?
100%. Like I said, definitely made me appreciate the game of baseball. Not saying I didn't appreciate it before, because I 100% appreciate it, but it made me look at it in a different way of appreciating it, and I love it. I love baseball.
Who were the people that put this kind of a mindset in you? Like, who when you say that, who are you parroting?
I like I said, I wouldn't be here without my wife. My wife was with me through both TJs. We got married halfway through. About halfway through the first one, I wouldn't be here without her. She pushed me every day. My bad days, she just kind of let me be, but also, you know, gave me positive talk, stuff like that, but also shoots me straight, like doesn't let me get in the dumps. Like, it's like, listen, you need, like, straighten up, let's go. Come on, you're better than that. Like, you know, and on the bad days, like even now that I'm healthy, she still pushes me every day. On the bad days, she's like, you can't do anything about it, it's done. You can be aggravated for a little bit, but you don't need to sit here and sulk. Like, it's, get over it, learn from it, move on. You know what you need to do next time. You know what you did wrong. You know where you got hurt in the game, and you know where you did really good in the game. Flush it, move on, learn from it, and move on. Get ready for the next.
Turning into the theme of this show, I spoke with James MacArthur, the power of your partner.
His wife's awesome too.
Yeah.
My wife and his wife are good friends.
Really?
Yeah.
So what aspect of your journey makes you proudest?
I'd say just never giving up in the 3 years. Like, a lot of people would want to be like, I'm done. Like, I got, the thing that put it the most in perspective is when I blew out the second time, I sat down in the office across the way here. Mm-hmm. Keith Comstock, who's the rehab guy over there, was like, he goes, you basically got two options. He goes, you can go through it again, or you can hang them up and be done. And it like put it into perspective really quick. Like,
it reverberates like, inside of you when you hear that.
And so, you know, I was like, I'm never quitting. Like, this game's gonna have to make me run me into the ground before I quit. Like, I'm just keep pushing, and came out the other side better than I've ever been.
Was there a moment, because James spoke mm-hmm. about last September, it was all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a it's all worth it moment?
When I got told I was going to the big leagues in 2022, I mean, it was like, I was an emotional wreck. My wife was actually with me. We were in Sugar Land, and it was like, holy cow, like, I'm finally getting to do what I dream of. And then, you know, you make it to the big leagues, and then you start getting bigger goals, because it's like, all right, I made it here. Now I want to stay here. I want to be the best, like, stuff like that. And it's, you know, got traded over here, developed a new pitch, and my August last year, you know, had a good month of baseball. And it just, not saying I didn't have confidence before, but it just showed, like, listen, I can be in the big leagues, and I can be very good in the big leagues. And it just gives you the confidence of, like, all right, I'm facing some of the best. I'm getting some of the best out. And going into this year, it's try to repeat. Go at them. You know, I want to, if you asked everybody in this locker room what our goal is this year, it's to win. That's all we care about. Whatever it takes to win, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that to me has been my biggest takeaway from this camp. And I think it started with a conversation I had with you. I was asking you about all the attention you're now receiving, the expectations, the excitement that the fans have. And you quickly dismiss it and say, as long as we win, all that other stuff will take care of itself.
100%. That's all that matters.
Why hasn't the attention, the success changed you or your attitude?
Because that's literally how you win. If you look at all the teams that win, they're a team. They're one. That's all that matters. You all play together, pull for each other, push each other every single day. You're going to win. And it's like, you know, yeah, you're going to lose some games, but that's when you flush it. You pick each other up. Some days I'm going to have a bad day and the bullpen's going to pick me up. And it, vice versa. Some days I might have a really good day. And it's like, I save the bullpen. And that goes for all the pitchers and stuff like that. It's, you know, the guys in the field, they make an incredible play. Save us. Let us get deeper into games. It's just, you pull for everybody. You get excited for everybody. You know, it's the name of the game. I mean, you want to be one. You want to win as one. And that's what it takes to win a championship.
Just a couple more questions. Cole Reagan's joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. How would you describe the type of pressure or the expectations that you put on yourself?
I probably have higher expectations than most people have for me. I push myself pretty hard. I'm a hardest critic. I want to be the best. Like, you know, I want to win. And like I said, that's what I think everybody in that locker room would tell you, is they want to win. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that.
And I would imagine when you are being your harshest critic, that's when your wife balances you out with, hey, yeah, you're still doing fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, then maybe this is a better question for her. But what's more likely to return? The mustache or the long hair you were rocking back in the day? I didn't know about that mullet, man. I saw that last night.
Oh, man. I mean, the mustache would grow a lot quicker than that mullet. That mullet took a while. I think it was like 18 months, 16 months in the working.
Was she a fan of either of those?
She liked the mullet. I feel like the mullet grew on her really quick. The mustache took a little longer to grow on her, and then she got used to it.
My wife will not go for it. I told her I'm going mustache in spring. She said, well, don't come back.
The mustache might make a comeback at some point this year. We'll see.
Yeah. All-star game.
Yeah.
Mustache. How about that?
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Cole, more than generous with your time, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Royals opening day starter Cole Reagans here on 610 Sports Radio. If you've been listening from the start, if you heard Isbell, if you heard MacArthur, if you just listened to Cole Reagans, you understand what I've been saying all camp. It does sound as if they're all parroting one another, that they've been, the best way to put it is they're bought in. I mean, they're speaking like champions. And if you've listened, if you've followed the Royals over the past 7 years, sure, there have been players that talk about winning, their desire to win, Whit Merrifield, Salvador Perez, no doubt. But in unison, the clarity of the goal has never been as profound as it, in my opinion, since Haas and Kane and Moose and those champions ultimately left after 2017. Still ahead, Adam Frazier, Bobby Witt Jr. in a conversation with Salvador Perez. We'll take a quick timeout. James Shields, Wade Davis, Greg Holland, speaking of champions, they're all in town, all leaving their mark on this Royals camp in 2024. Wago G, middle fingers, Wade Davis, and Dirty South, Greg Holland, imparting wisdom to the boys in blue. I got more on that after this. Back live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. I'm Josh Vernier, 610 Sports Radio's Royals Insider. We're 1 week away from opening day, 1 week away from starting up the 2024 season, which hopefully you're getting excited about here in the way that Kyle Isbell and James MacArthur and Cole Reagans are talking. You'll hear from Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. and Adam Frazier. I really think you're going to like being introduced to Adam Frazier. Stay tuned for that. But also, my friends, 2024 is also somehow a 10-year anniversary of that pennant-winning ball club from 2014. Does it feel like 10 years? No. No. To me, it doesn't. And I think that speaks to just how long the honeymoon was. After 14 and 15, how long we were basking in the glow of that commissioner's trophy and that parade downtown Kansas City. 16, 17, 2018, even 2019. Man, you can't tell me nothing. You can't tell Ned anything. You can't tell anybody anything. We're having a good time representing the boys in blue. And then 2020 and 21, okay, starting to get a little fed up with this. And certainly last year was brutal. So as we get ready to not only embark on hopefully the first winning season in 8 years, we also get ready to embark on multiple celebrations of that pennant-winning ball club, that team that re-energized baseball in the city, that 2014 bunch. If I can help you out real quick. Well, you may have already seen the bobbleheads for, what is that, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May. Now, Oakland's in town, so I understand you're not too keen on spending money to watch the Oakland Athletics, who somehow are spending less money now than they were a decade ago. Anyway, I'd advise you, buy some tickets to that. The bobblehead giveaway, you got Herrera on Friday, Davis on Saturday, Holland on Sunday. They're all interlocking, so they create an HDH. But I would advise you, buy tickets to that series. And I got to think, going off of last year, I think they had the Lorenzo Cain celebration on a Saturday. So maybe that's, you know, just kind of piecing it together, looking at the giveaways, it would make sense that that series is a big-time celebration where you start bringing the big dogs back from that 2014 team. Speaking of which, they started to do that this spring. Because there are going to be so many ceremonies over the course of the season, you might as well introduce this clubhouse to James Shields and Wade Davis and Greg Holland. All three of them. Guests of Matt Cutrero and this coaching staff. Q, of course, with history with both Wade Davis and, of course, James Shields.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was technically, I was still playing when he was drafted and stuff, but we never played together. But then when I got into coaching, I was in extended, and he was there as an injured player and then went to Double A and Triple A and on to the big leagues. So we were around each other a decent amount.
Yeah, so I was talking with different players and different personnel, just trying to find out what wisdom, what kind of discussions they had or they overheard James Shields having. James Shields going up to Bobby Witt Jr., telling him, you're the guy. This is your clubhouse, and you need to take it over. James Shields isn't one to tiptoe. No, he bursts in the door, just like he did when he was traded over in 2013 and made sure that guys were focused on winning. And when the winning did arrive, make sure they enjoy the win, celebrate your teammate. James Shields, one of the best ralliers, one of the best leaders of professional men that I've been around. James Shields goes to Salvador Perez and says, hey, I know you're the guy, but you're not going to be the guy much longer. This is Bobby's team, and you need to help him. You need to make sure this clubhouse knows that we fall in line behind Bobby Witt Jr. Of course, Salvi and James Shields with a long history with one another. He goes up to Cole Reagans and tells him just how bad of a boy he is. That not only do you have the stuff to lead this rotation, my man, you can go to any of these other 29 teams in Major League Baseball and be their ace. So just going around the clubhouse, identifying the leaders and uplifting them. Because how often does that happen? Think about it. Like at your job, how often does someone go build up the boss, build up the leader? No. Doesn't happen very often. So when someone with the pedigree of James Shields comes in and lifts up a Cole Reagans, lifts up a Bobby Witt Jr., it has a different impact than when a teammate does it. Or when a coach does it. Wade Davis, back in the fold as well, gave me a nice compliment about how good my shaved head looks, so I appreciate that, Wader. Here's what Q had to say.
Yeah, Wade was on one of the first teams I was a coach on, and then instantly like a big fan of his for how he went about things. But yeah, I was in the organization with him from 04 through 13, or no, 12 when he got traded. So, yeah, we've known each other a long time.
So you and I know Wade Davis and James Shields. We cheered him on. We celebrated the way that Wade Davis would basically give the hitter a middle finger with the I mean, some of you remember. He'd throw strike three and then kind of like just spit on the ground in disgust that you had the audacity to stand in the box. Now, James Shields, after throwing that complete Game 4 hitter against the Giants in August of 2014, throws a beautiful changeup that Pablo Sandoval just stares at. And all in one fluid motion, Shields spins around to the left field bullpen and salutes Greg Holland and the rest of, you know, Kelvin Herrera. And the just, you remember that. You know all about that. But I was so very intrigued to hear what Matt Quatrero was hoping that Wade Davis and James Shields would impart on their team. Beginning with Wago G, James Shields.
Yeah, the mindset stuff is what he's, I mean, you guys that have been around him, he's tremendous. His competitiveness, his passion, what it means for him, what a team means to him, and the brotherhood of being on a team, and the family aspect of it, and all of that stuff is what he's tremendous with.
No question about it. James Shields, the only pitcher, by the way, my friends, the only pitcher in the last 15 years to post a season with double-digit complete games. The only one. In fact, since the turn of the century, only Big Game James and CC Sabathia have put up a season with double-digit complete games. Shields had more than 30 starts, made more than 30 starts for 10 straight years. They don't, well, they still make them like that. They just don't allow them to flourish like that anymore. Even Cole Reagans was giving some love to James Shields.
I just felt like I went out there and I competed. I filled it up. You know, yeah, I had my walks here and there, but like overall, I felt like I my goal was 6-plus innings. You know, just save the bullpen as much as I can, as deep as I can get into the game. And I felt like for the most part last year, I did solid with it. I would like to, you know, throw more innings this year. You know, it's, I think, one of those things, you know, you watch the guys that have come before us. James Shields was here earlier in the week. I can't remember what they said, like 7 straight seasons or 9 straight seasons with 200 innings. Like, that's incredible. So it's, you know, it's just building off of what I started last year and how I ended and just trying to run with it.
Yeah, and that's part of the message that James Shields was trying to impart on Cole Reagans. You hear him there with Annie Rogers of MLB.com. And yes, he did get that statistic right. 9 straight seasons with 200 innings. In fact, Shields went 200 in his final big league season. Led the league in losses, but like a true professional, took the ball every fifth day and tried his best. Here's what Matt Quatrero is hoping that Wade Davis can pass along to his guys.
Well, I mean, you know, he had a really interesting career. I mean, the Royals fans know him as somebody that was a dominant reliever, closer, but he was a pretty good starting pitcher all through the minor.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Back live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. I'm Josh Vernier, your 610 Sports Radio's Royals Insider. We're 1 week away from opening day, 1 week away from starting up the 2024 season, which hopefully you're getting excited about here in the way that Kyle Isbell and James MacArthur and Cole Reagans are talking. You'll hear from Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. and Adam Frazier. I really think you're going to like being introduced to Adam Frazier. Stay tuned for that. But also, my friends, 2024 is also somehow a 10-year anniversary of that pennant-winning ball club from 2014. Does it feel like 10 years? No. To me, it doesn't. And I think that speaks to just how long the honeymoon was. After 14 and 15, how long we were basking in the glow of that commissioner's trophy and that parade downtown Kansas City. 16, 17, 2018, even 2019. Eh, man, you can't tell me nothing. You can't tell Ned anything. You can't tell anybody anything. We're having a good time representing the boys in blue. And then 2020 and 21, okay, starting to get a little fed up with this. And certainly last year was brutal. So as we get ready to not only embark on hopefully the first winning season in 8 years, we also get ready to embark on multiple celebrations of that pennant-winning ball club, that team that re-energized baseball in the city, that 2014 bunch. If I can help you out real quick. Well, you may have already seen the bobbleheads for, what is that, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May. Now, Oakland's in town, so I understand you're not too keen on spending money to watch the Oakland Athletics, who somehow are spending less money now than they were a decade ago. Anyway, I'd advise you, buy some tickets to that. The bobblehead giveaway, you got Herrera on Friday, Davis on Saturday, Holland on Sunday. They're all interlocking, so they create an HDH. But I would advise you, buy tickets to that series. And I got to think, going off of last year, I think they had the Lorenzo Cain celebration on a Saturday. So maybe that's, you know, just kind of piecing it together, looking at the giveaways, it would make sense that that series is a big-time celebration where you start bringing the big dogs back from that 2014 team. Speaking of which, they started to do that this spring. Because there are going to be so many ceremonies over the course of the season, you might as well introduce this clubhouse to James Shields and Wade Davis and Greg Holland. All three of them, guests of Matt Cutrero and this coaching staff. Q, of course, with history with both Wade Davis and, of course, James Shields.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was technically, I mean, I was still playing when he was drafted and stuff, but we never played together. But then when I got into coaching, I was in extended, and he was there as an injured player and then went to Double A and Triple A and on to the big league. So we were around each other a decent amount.
Yeah, so I was talking with different players and different personnel, just trying to find out what wisdom, what kind of discussions they had or they overheard James Shields having. James Shields going up to Bobby Witt Jr., telling him, you're the guy. This is your clubhouse, and you need to take it over. James Shields isn't one to tiptoe. No, he bursts in the door, just like he did when he was traded over in 2013 and made sure that guys were focused on winning. And when the winning did arrive, make sure they enjoy the win, celebrate your teammate. James Shields, one of the best ralliers, one of the best leaders of professional men that I've been around. James Shields goes to Salvador Perez and says, hey, I know you're the guy, but you're not going to be the guy much longer. This is Bobby's team, and you need to help him. You need to make sure this clubhouse knows that we fall in line behind Bobby Witt Jr. Of course, Salvi and James Shields with a long history with one another. He goes up to Cole Reagans and tells him just how bad of a boy he is. That not only do you have the stuff to lead this rotation, my man, you can go to any of these other 29 teams in Major League Baseball and be their ace. So just going around the clubhouse, identifying the leaders and uplifting them. Because how often does that happen? Think about it. Like at your job, how often does someone go build up the boss, build up the leader? No. Doesn't happen very often. So when someone with the pedigree of James Shields comes in and lifts up a Cole Reagans, lifts up a Bobby Witt Jr., it has a different impact than when a teammate does it. Or when a coach does it. Wade Davis, back in the fold as well, gave me a nice compliment about how good my shaved head looks, so I appreciate that, Wader. Here's what Q had to say.
Yeah, Wade was on one of the first teams I was a coach on, and then instantly like a big fan of his for how he went about things. But yeah, I was in the organization with him from 04 through 12 when he got traded. So, yeah, we've known each other a long time.
So you and I know Wade Davis and James Shields. We cheered him on. We celebrated the way that Wade Davis would basically give the hitter a middle finger with the I mean, some of you remember. He throws strike three and then kind of like just spit on the ground in disgust that you had the audacity to stand in the box. Now, James Shields, after throwing that complete Game 4 hitter against the Giants in August of 2014, throws a beautiful changeup that Pablo Sandoval just stares at. And all in one fluid motion, Shields spins around to the left field bullpen and salutes Greg Holland and the rest of, you know, Kelvin Herrera. Just, you remember that. You know all about that. But I was so very intrigued to hear what Matt Quatrero was hoping that Wade Davis and James Shields would impart on their team. Beginning with Wago G, James Shields.
Yeah, the mindset stuff is what he's, I mean, you guys that have been around him, he's tremendous. His competitiveness, his passion, what it means for him, what a team means to him, and the brotherhood of being on a team, and the family aspect of it, and all of that stuff is what he's tremendous with.
No question about it. James Shields, the only pitcher, by the way, my friends, the only pitcher in the last 15 years to post a season with double-digit complete games. The only one. In fact, since the turn of the century, only Big Game James and CC Sabathia have put up a season with double-digit complete games. Shields had more than 30 starts, made more than 30 starts for 10 straight years. They don't, well, they still make them like that. They just don't allow them to flourish like that anymore. Even Cole Reagans was giving some love to James Shields.
I just felt like I went out there and I competed. I filled it up. You know, yeah, I had my walks here and there, but like overall, I felt like my goal was 6-plus innings. You know, just save the bullpen as much as I can, as deep as I can get into the game. And I felt like for the most part last year, I did solid with it. I would like to, you know, throw more innings this year. You know, it's, I think, one of those things, you know, you watch the guys that have come before us. James Shields was here earlier in the week. I can't remember what they said, like 7 straight seasons or 9 straight seasons with 200 innings. Like, that's incredible. So it's, you know, it's just building off of what I started last year and how I ended and just trying to run with it.
Yeah, and that's part of the message that James Shields was trying to impart on Cole Reagans. You hear him there with Annie Rogers of MLB.com. And yes, he did get that statistic right. 9 straight seasons with 200 innings. In fact, Shields went 200 in his final big league season. Led the league in losses, but like a true professional, took the ball every fifth day and tried his best. Here's what Matt Quatrero is hoping that Wade Davis can pass along to his guys.
Well, I mean, you know, he had a really interesting career. I mean, the Royals fans know him as somebody that was a dominant reliever, closer, but he was a pretty good starting pitcher all through the minor leagues and then also through the first couple of years of his big league career. So he's got a wide variety of experiences and obviously 13 years of big league time in all different roles, pitching the postseason 6 times. So there's a lot to pick his brain about.
Even talking with Daniel Lynch about little just tricks and techniques that he picked up from Shields. I watched those two have what appeared to be like a half-hour conversation in the dugout during one of the recent Cactus League games. We're talking like hiding the ball from the base runner while he's on second base. Just little shortcuts, little tricks that come with more than a dozen years in the big leagues. Man, I can't tell you how great it was to see James Shields. Looks the same, just a little bit more gray in the beard. I'm not judging. I got the exact same thing going on. Wade Davis looks exactly the same. Greg Holland looks the same, just you know, not as built as he was as a ball player. And maybe the memory not as sharp. I'm pretty sure he thought I was Sam Mellinger. Bobby Witt Jr. had a chance to talk with the MVP candidate. You're going to hear that coming up in about 30 minutes from now. But when we get back, someone that I'm very excited to introduce you to, one of the newest Royals. You already got a proper introduction to Cole Reagans and James MacArthur. I think you're going to love Adam Frazier. I know his teammates do, even though they should be a little bit more... No, No, you shouldn't be afraid of your teammate, but a few of the guys should know he's breathing down your neck. He might be stealing your ABs. Nonetheless, Adam Frazier joins us after this.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.